Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
Acts chapter 4, Acts the 4th chapter, and we'll be reading a couple of verses in just a few moments. Today, here at the church, as on the calendar, is Pastor's Appreciation Day. And tonight at 6 o'clock, the church is having a fellowship in our gym, 6 p.m. I believe they're grilling hamburgers, such as that. It's a casual time, but we hope you'll come to that gathering to fellowship with us all that possibly can. But that's tonight at 6 o'clock. So I want to, and just to say what a privilege it is for me to be able to be the pastor here at Christian Heritage Church, along with our pastoral staff. This past May, I came on the church staff here at the church 33 years ago, this past May. It was actually May the 6th, 1990. I came on the staff as, at the time, they called it Christian Education Director, but I became the youth pastor of the church and served in that capacity for about 6 years. And then after those 6 years, also along with that as youth pastor, I would lead worship as well, you know. And so it's worship has changed quite a bit far stylistically through the years. But I was the worship leader, and I taught some I can remember a lot of the choruses we would sing sounded very Jewish. I can remember one of the first times I led a chorus in 1990 after coming back here to church on staff. I had somebody say, "That doesn't sound like us." I said, "It sounded just like y'all because y'all were all singing it." It had very much a Jewish sound to it. It was Old Testament scriptures. It would say, "We rush on the cities, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries forth his word. They rush on the city, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries forth his word. The Lord honors his voice before his armies. The Lord honors his voice before his armies." Then I like to scare people half to death. "Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm at thy holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm." That was kind of Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. So some of you, I see heads shaking or whatever. You remember some of those tunes. But different time, but that's what I came here. And as styles and music change through the years, one thing that's always been consistent is that we're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart. And so 33 years ago, Sherry and I had the privilege. I'll never forget, probably in March or April of that year, the chairman of the vice chair of the deacon board here at the church, Calvin Odom, called us, and I'm on the phone, and he says, "Would you consider coming to serve back at the church here along with your daddy?" And after I talked to him, I don't know what I said to him at that moment, but I must have said something about, "Let me pray about it." Because Sherry's first words out of her mouth said, "You do the praying, I'll do the packing." So as Jody said, faith is action, Sherry was going into action. And she says, "You pray, I'll pack." She knew what God was up to, but I'm thankful that way back then God saw fit to bring me back home. And Sherry and I have been blessed for these 33 years. And then 21 years ago, I followed my father as the lead pastor here, following his too short of a life, passing away at 59 years old. And so it's been, so these last 21 years now, over 21, as the lead pastor here. And I've been thrilled to serve along with a great team of pastors. Pastor Jody, been here along that journey starting in 1996, and Pastor Jonathan, 2003, and we can march forward just talking about our staff that's here today. And all three of us are incredibly thankful, not to mention all the staff, all the ministry leaders of the church, but full-time on here on the staff as pastors, to be able to have Joshua Phillips to lead us beginning in full-time in 2019 in our worship, and Jacob Randall at the end of 21, I believe, 2021, and then Bailey Randall coming on staff last fall, a year ago. And it's crazy, I know, but Joshua's my son, Jacob is Jonathan's son, and Bailey is Jody's daughter. Now what we're proud about, you know, some people say, "Well, I don't know about that." Well, you can not know about it, but I want to tell you, to have your children to be in ministry, listen, I'll take the "I don't know about it" all day long, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful, and my son Caleb, who's a minister of the gospel as well, works here in our community, but serves and helping us so much with all the video and the broadcast part of it and those type things. And there's just a whole bunch of people involved in the ministry of the church. And I'm not mention any part of those, but I did want to mention those that are the pastors in the church, part of the staff. And it's been incredible. It's been an incredible journey. But what I wanted to do today, this is different than, I felt it important for me to show appreciation to you today, because it has been an incredible journey as being involved here and God allowing me to shepherd the flock of God. And that's what I always try to remember, that you are the flock of God. You're the flock of God. In John 10, we have a scripture there that really just makes it clear that there's only one shepherd and there's one flock. The one shepherd is the chief shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, and that is Jesus Christ. Would you praise the Lord for that? There's but one shepherd. And there is but one flock. There's but one church. There's but one body of believers across this entire world that make up the flock of God. And so I want to tell you, you that have believed upon Jesus and have become followers of Jesus through repentance of your sins and taking and holding to the belief of Christ, who shed his blood for the remission of your sins, for your forgiveness, and you believed upon him, there's but one flock of God in the world. And I want to thank you that you are a part of that. And I want to say, I am so proud of you and so excited that you are followers of Jesus Christ. And so I just want to, because that could not happen by the will of man. That only happens by the will of God. So will we praise God for that today? That we get to be a part of His flock today because He has chosen us and has elected us for that purpose today. And we praise the Lord for that. It's incredible to think about. I want to just share with you in these next 15 to 20 minutes that from Acts chapter 4, there was a church consultant. He was certainly famed in the church world during the 70s and 80s, an incredible man of God, I'm sure of it. Wynn Arn did a study sometime, it's probably been a decade or so, probably a couple of decades ago now, probably in the 80s sometimes, probably when he did this. But they did I'm not even sure exactly when it came, but it was decades ago now. But he asked a question of a number of churches concerning what was the purpose of the church. And what he got from the congregation of those churches, from the membership of those churches, 89% of them said that the purpose of the church was to meet the needs of their families and of themselves individually. 89%. 11% said the purpose of the church was to win the world to Christ. He polled the pastors of those churches. It was the exact opposite. 90% said the purpose of the church is to win the world to Christ. 10% said it was to meet the needs of the congregation. We can't speak. We're not talking about outside the United States. Our church is in the United States. And so it's been too much of the time we've not understood the purpose of the church. And so there have been those who think the purpose is merely for us. What I want to share with you this morning, these next few moments, so here I go, is the purpose of Christian Heritage Church and the church everywhere is not to have a good worship music ministry. The purpose is not to have a good children's ministry. The purpose is not to have a good youth ministry. The purpose is not to have good times of fellowship. The purpose of the church is not to have a good women's ministry and good men's ministry. The purpose of the church is to together proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to equip the saints, the people that gather here today, to win the lost of the world as well. Now, in so doing, we are, according to the Great Commission that Jesus declared in Matthew 28, Mark 16, I mentioned it last week, a part of that is teaching the church to observe whatsoever things that He has commanded them. And like we do from week to week, we speak concerning the Word, and we are to teach and to admonish the church how to live out that relationship with Jesus Christ. So, but all of it is for the purpose of you and I being healthy believers so that we can go out of this place to win a lost and a dying world. Do we get that today? That's the purpose. But what happens is a lot of times we've reversed it. And so we're just trying to get our needs met. And if we're not careful, listen, I'm thankful that we serve a God who meets needs, aren't you? I'm thankful for a wonderful music ministry and worship ministry in the church. I'm thankful. We are to be excellent in those things. I'm thankful for a dynamic children's ministry that can minister to your family and make a difference in our community in that way. And I'm thankful for a youth ministry that we have, and we have staff here in the church, pastors on our church staff that do all of those things. We have incredible women's ministries and men's ministries and small group ministries, and the list goes down. I mean, there's an incredible things that go on, but all of those things, the purpose of those things are the same, that you and I would be healthy believers to fulfill the purpose and mission of God in this world. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And that's what I want to just share with you in these few moments that we have left, that we are to be united in purpose. That's the title of this message. United in purpose. Because if we're not that, if we can't fulfill the purpose, then I've failed you as a pastor. I could be the best pastor around in terms of pastoral care, and I could answer every phone call, every email, and be everywhere that I need to be on what day and whatever, and be flawless at it. But if we don't fulfill the purpose for which God has placed His church in this world, then I failed. Do y'all get what I'm saying today? I'm just sharing with you the best I can. So we're to be united in purpose so that we understand at the end of the day. We're not supposed to have a bad attitude if a song, we don't like the songs. Because the purpose is not that. If there's a speaker at women's ministries or men's ministries and they wasn't our favorite, we don't get bent out of shape, because it's the purpose is different than that, what our likes are. See, if it was just about likes, we're going to have a schizophrenic church. Because we're going to be trying to do everything in the world and I'm going home. Because you can't do it. Somebody asked me one time, what about about the music of the church? The music's going to be whoever God gives us to do the music and whoever leads it. If it's country, it's country. If it's what it is now, it is what it is now. It has been all kinds of things through the years because that's who God had here leading it. And that was their gifts coming out. And God has granted us some incredible gifts. We're just personalities. Me, Jonathan, and Jody preach differently. We're geared differently. There's personality there. And the same is true all over this congregation. And so we just come together, love one another, because ultimately, when we leave this room, we got to present Jesus to this world. But we've got to present Jesus unified in purpose. We don't have to like the same music. We don't have to like the same styles. But we do have to be unified in purpose and in love and act like Jesus. That's what we have to do. If we don't, then we're outside of His purpose. We're outside of His plan. We're outside of His will. And so, united in purpose. Acts 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So I want us just to see here a few things today related to the purpose of the church. Would you notice verse 2? It says they were of one mind and one heart. They're of one mind or one heart. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one mind. So the first thing I want you to see today in this passage is that they were, the church was united. The church, if you're taking notes, it's not going to be on the screen, but the church was united. It was united in one heart, one mind, or it was, or King James Version was saying one heart, one soul, but they were together. What I want to say concerning that united, they were united in a few ways here. They were family with a relationship. You and I understand as the church that we are family. This is the early church. When we're reading the book of Acts, this is the church in its beginning and how it all started. This is after Jesus died upon the cross. He rose from the grave, and this is after he ascended into heaven. This is the church. This is the very beginning. And it says they were united with one heart and one mind. So what did that mean? They were a family in a relationship. Likewise, you and I are to be a family in a relationship. And you might have a strange uncle in the bunch. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we weird. How many of you be honest just to say you got weird family members in your biological family? Likewise, sometimes we got weird brothers and sisters. They're odd. But they nevertheless my family. Biologically, it's still my uncle. It's still my aunt. It's still my cousin. In the body of Christ, we can be, but what we got to understand is that we're family. I'm reminded of a scripture we used last week where from 2 Thessalonians where Paul was saying concerning the brothers, even them that wouldn't work and wouldn't doing right, he said, don't treat them as an enemy, treat them as a brother. Do y'all that were here remember that from 2 Thessalonians? Even when somebody's not doing right, that we don't condone what they're doing. In fact, they need to change it. That's what 2 Thessalonians, we need to change, but we don't treat them as an enemy. We treat them as brothers. We treat people with love. And so they were united. They were a family in relationship. Also, they were a friend in fellowship. That's what we see here. They're really, that when we think about this one in heart and mind, they were a friend in fellowship. And what we see here is that neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. They were trying to take care of one another. So when I say they were a friend in fellowship, they tried to help one another. Now, obviously, sometimes we gather like this in this room. We're only going to know a certain number of people intimately in our life. It doesn't matter if we're in a room of 50 or a room of 500 or 5,000. It comes right down to it. We normally know intimately about the same number of people no matter what size church you go to. You can go to a real little church, but you don't know every single person intimately. But what I am saying is that we all need to be friends in our fellowship. And we need to be concerned in the body of Christ. Now, I want you to get centered on this. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the church. And so, therefore, we are to do everything we can to help one another in the body of Christ. That's our first priority in all of our relationships. Certainly, our families, the Bible tells us, our individual nuclear unit of our family, biologically, we have a responsibility. In fact, the Scripture says our religion is in vain if we don't take care of our aging parents and things like that. But we are to have in our fellowship, we are to be friends. We are to be friends of one another and caring for one another, needs and those things. Mentioned a while ago, you know, the purpose is not in the sharing of the possessions. The sharing of the possessions is a byproduct of the purpose. That's what we got to keep in mind. The worship ministry of the church is a byproduct of the purpose. It's not the music of the church is the purpose, but it's a byproduct of that. The ministries of the church are a byproduct of us trying to do ministry to different age levels, children, youth, adults in the church. But the purpose is that all people come to repentance in Christ Jesus. That's what we want to see. So here we are. We're to be united as the church. We're to be family in relationship. We're to be a friend in fellowship. That's very key for us. But this is the one that brings it together. We are to be followers of God in partnership, because that's what it's all really about. We're followers of God in partnership. Followers of God. And therefore, that being the purpose of it all is Jesus, and our relationship to Him, and our relationship to God is through Jesus Christ. And that is why the family, our family relationship means something. That's why our friendship among one another means something. But this is what we always got to keep in mind, though, is that the church is not about my family reunion and just supplying the needs of my biological family. It's not just about being able to use facilities. All of those things are unique and byproducts of being a part of Christian Heritage Church and the larger church that exists all around the world, but the purpose is different. And the purpose outweighs anything else. That's why we have to make sure that we understand and that we guard ourselves from being so fixated on having just being about me. Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple unless you die to self, take up my cross, and follow after me. What he's saying is, it's not me church. It's his church. It's his purpose, not everybody catering to me. Did I say I appreciate y'all? Just wanted to say that. Okay. So in their unity, they experience the power of God. Let's look at verse 33. And with power, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace fell upon them all. I want you to just see that. In their unity, in one heart and one mind, they experience the power of God. See, purpose assures us that the steering wheel is connected to all the parts that get to the engine, the power. Keeping the purpose in our heart is the steering wheel. Again, it assures us that the steering wheel is connected to all the parts and ultimately the engine that would cause the whole thing to move forward. That's what purpose is. It keeps us connected to everything. Otherwise, you know, it reminds me, right up here to the left, if you went out the front door of the church here, to the left, up in the woods by Brother Bo Harris, Sister Jean Harris lived in that house, Charlie and Jackie Paget lived there now. That was Jackie's parents. There was an old antique truck that used to sit right up there in the woods. And their son Keith and I would sit up there when we was kids, and we'd get in that old antique truck, and we would drive. We drove all over the country. There's a lot of activity went on in that truck. I don't know where me and Keith might have drove, but in our imagination, we went all kind of places. I'm afraid a lot of times churches are going places in their imagination. You see, if we desire power and we're not fulfilling the purpose, it creates emotion with no, it creates emotion with no motion. You're not getting anywhere. It can create efficiency, because one of our things that we have always tried to do is to be excellent in our buildings and grounds and excellent in our ministry. We want to represent God well in this world. But we could do that, but if we're not realizing our purpose and doing our purpose, then we have efficiency, but we're not accomplishing anything. We have activity, but we're not accomplishing anything. The purpose is the key here. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose for our teaching, the purpose of our worship, the purpose of the life groups, the purpose of the men's ministry and women's ministry, the purpose of Sunday school, the purpose of it all, youth ministry, kids ministry, is all that we would glorify Jesus and that more people would come to know Jesus and that we could teach them to do whatsoever things the Lord had commanded us to do so that we can accomplish His purpose again and again. Again and again, we come into this place to learn and to worship, but we go out into this world to serve Him for the glory of God. All right. It's 10:14 by that clock. So here we go. So this, they experience the power of God. But this experience of the power of God in unity, this experience is evidenced by a church that is growing in the New Testament. It was evidenced by a church that was growing. Scholars have said that in the first 25 years of the church, it grew from 125 to over 100,000 in 25 years. And it has grown and grown and grown. You and I are part of that today. From what began right in the middle of Israel, in Jerusalem, on Judean hillsides, this thing has reached down to where we are today. Ain't it beautiful? You see, it was growth that took place. The same is true of a local church. This power of God in the purpose of God, because the power is for the purpose of God being fulfilled. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The reason for the power of the Holy Spirit was for the propagation of the gospel in power. That's the reason. So it's evidence in church growth. It was also evidenced in their ability to be sustained and stand against satanic attacks. And that's what happens. We go to the next chapter, chapter 5 of Acts, and we have not only the persecution that we've been talking about, they experience it here, we see it all in Acts, and we talked about it a lot when we were preaching on 2 Thessalonians. The church experienced persecution heavily, but they also, these attacks came by moral issues within the church. And we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. And they were lying to the Holy Spirit and being deceptive members in the church. But this church stood in power and kept marching forward even though there was immorality in the church. And God's plan kept marching forward. And so it evidenced the power within them not to stop them. And so it is in our world, in the church. There's many times we have to keep pressing forward, despite in the church world, scandals and all kinds of things that hurt the name of the church. Whether they be local or whether they be national or international scandals, it nevertheless, we have to march forward through all that stuff. And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we do that. Not only that, wasn't just persecution and wasn't just moral immorality and those things of membership. And they kept that, but there was also an attack of, this is very important, whereby the apostles got distracted in taking on social responsibilities instead of staying in the Word and in prayer. The Scripture says that the apostles were to give themselves to the Word and to prayer, to the ministry of the Word in the church and all those things. But what happened was they got distracted by the social responsibilities of taking care of all the people. And that's why the Scripture says that we are to equip the saints, the pastors are to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. This is why in the Bible deacons were established in the church. This is why when we read throughout we read Romans and Corinthians, the letters, they tell us about there's gifts and operations of administration and hospitality and all kind of ministries within the body of Christ, and He uses our gifts and all that. And so the other thing I wanted to mention today is that not only were they in unity, and not only were they experiencing the power of God, but they discovered diversity in their unity and how God had geared them different ways, and they were able to do the ministry of the church and keep things in the right perspective so that the church could be effective to grow and to grow and to grow. And so God uses all of us. All of us. And then the last thing is, and you said, thank God. The church was the answer to the prayer of Jesus in John 17. Let's look at John 17, verses 20 through 23. This is the prayer of Jesus. This is His prayer. Not the prayer He taught His disciples to pray, but this is Jesus talking to God. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. So look here. He said, I'm not just praying for My disciples, My apostles. Not just praying for Peter, James, John, those. He said, I'm not praying for them. I am doing that, but not them alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. Everybody, that would ever hear them. He said Jesus was praying that they all may be one. Would you say that with me? That they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. Is anybody wondering what the purpose of the church is? Jesus just said it. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, and they may be one just as We are one, I in them and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.